Help us to understand that the words of life come only from you. And if we're going to speak life, we have to speak Jesus. That Jesus, you are the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except by you. Father, help us to be attentive to the leading of your Holy Spirit. Father, help us not to stray away, as so many have done, to be caught in the glitz and the glamour of the way of the world, to be led astray by Satan, and then to pay the penalty because we've moved so far away from where you want us to be. We know, Father, that the best place we can be is as close to you as we can possibly get. That if we are in your will, if we are in your way, then we are going to be blessed because that's where you can bless us most abundantly. That you desire for us to live in a relationship with you and a fellowship with you, to be used by you. And that when we stray away, Father, we hinder your work in our lives. We hinder your blessings for us. So help us to be individually and corporately as your church all that you have called us to be. Father, this nation has strayed so far away from where it was designed by the forefathers to be. We have strayed away and we have turned upside down. We have said what is good is evil and what's evil is good. We have turned light into dark and dark into light. And we wonder then why we are reaping the whirlwind as a culture. So Father, help us today to hear your words. And hearing your words, help us to apply those to our life, to be what you've called us to be, to influence the culture, this nation. Father, help us to experience revival as we allowed you to do in us what only you can do. We know that for revival to fan through this nation, it's got to start in your church. So, Father, we pray that we would allow you to do that in us and through us. Father, forgive me of my sins. Help me to be your instrument here this morning. We continue to pray that the words of my mouth, the meditation of our hearts together, might be acceptable in your sight. In Jesus' name, amen. Big reset. You don't want that to happen. You do not want that to have to happen. But it has happened numerous times in the Old Testament. We follow the Israelites through the blessings of God, their position following God. And then we see as they fall away, as they build pagan totem poles, basically altars and Ashtoreth poles, and they start worshiping these pagan gods and living like the pagans, and God warns them and warns them and warns them, and yet still they don't heed. And then finally God sends a reset. He did it with the northern tribes in the form of the Assyrian Empire. He did it with the southern kingdom in the form of the Babylonian Empire. Later on, it became the Macedonian Greek Empire. Then later on, the Roman Empire. Time after time, God has sent resets to turn them back. And it did work for a while. But then things got good, and they forgot God, and they got back into the same swing of things. I remember very clearly September 11th, 2001. I walked upstairs going to my office, and a lady that she's retired since then, but she had an office down the hall from me, and she had a little bitty TV she would turn on during lunch. And as I walked by her office, I saw her TV was on, which was unusual. So I stepped in there, and Jackie was like, "Come here, look at this." And I was standing there when the second airplane hit the second tower. And for a few weeks after September 11th, the culture changed a little bit. Now, I'm not saying that everybody changed, but I'm saying churches were close to being full. I was serving at Crestview back then, and the church was full. Even the evening service on Sunday night, there was a lot of people there. Wednesday night, there was a lot of people. The next Sunday, there was still a lot of people. But then by the third Sunday, people realized, well, the world's not coming to an end. Everything's going to go back to normal. And they quit coming. God sent a little reset, and it worked for a little while. What's going to happen, though, when we don't heed and we don't turn when God sends a big reset? A big reset takes generations to recover from. When the Roman Empire burned the temple in Jerusalem and tore down everything in 70 AD, do you know how long it was before Israel became a nation again? 19 48. That's a long time. Now, 1,000 years is a day, and a day is 1,000 years with God. But the best we can do as individuals, the best we can do as a church, the best we can do as a nation is heed His warnings and turn before it's too late. Scripture I want to look at today comes from Jeremiah chapter 17, verses 1 through 10. 1 through 10, I believe verse 10 is up on the board. So if you have your Bibles, turn with me to Jeremiah chapter 17, verses 1 through 10. Jeremiah is called the weeping prophet because he shed so many tears over his nation. And I can see when he was writing this, he could be shedding tears here as well. The sin of Judah is written with a pen of iron. With the point of a diamond, it is engraved on the tablet of their heart and on the horns of their altars, while their children remember their altars and their wooden images by the green trees on the high hills. On my mountain in the field, I will give as plunder your wealth, all your treasuries, and your high places of sin within all your borders. And you, even yourself, shall let go of your heritage which I gave you. And I will cause you to serve your enemies in the land which you do not know, for you have kindled a fire in my anger which shall burn forever. Cursed is the man who trusts in man and makes flesh his strength, whose heart departs from the Lord. For he shall be like a shrub in the desert and shall not see when good comes, but shall inhabit the parched places in the wilderness in a salt land which is not inhabited. Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord and whose hope is in the Lord, or rather whose hope is the Lord. For he shall be like a tree planted by the waters, which spreads out its roots by the river, and will not fear when heat comes, but its leaf will be green, and will not be anxious in the year of drought, nor will cease from yielding fruit. The heart is deceitful above all things, and desperately wicked. Who can know it? I, the Lord, search the heart, I test the mind, even to give every man according to his ways, according to the fruit of his doings. Second passage of Scripture comes from Galatians chapter 6, verse 7. We need to heed this. We need to heed this. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. Notice what that says. Don't be deceived. Now, who is the deceiver? Satan is the deceiver. He wants to pull the wool over your eyes. But God's saying, don't be deceived, because God is not mocked. Whatever a man or woman sows. Now, what's he talking about sowing? He's talking about sowing seeds, right? Whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. Do not think for a moment that God does not see, that God does not hear, that God does not know, or that God does not care. He sees, He hears, He knows, and He cares. And there are consequences. There are consequences to our actions. Now, I don't know the details. I don't know what happened on the lake July the 4th. One boat ran over the other one. I don't know if there were no lights. I don't know if there was alcohol involved. I don't know what the cause was, but something caused it. And it only took an instant. It only took an instant. The young man who lost his life in a kayak on the Chattahoochee River was in the kayak one moment and gone the next. I don't know what happened there, but I do know it only takes an instant. And that the things we do with our life, there are consequences to it. If you get behind the wheel of a car and you are intoxicated, there are consequences to that. The least of those is that you will be arrested. The worst of those is that you will kill somebody or kill yourself. We disregard the Word of God. We thumb our nose in the face of God at our own peril. Now, sometimes I think as a culture, because God is long-suffering, because God does not bring immediate consequences, we think, oh, it's okay. I got away with it. Or else God doesn't care. Well, you didn't get away with it, and God does care. And there are consequences. They may be immediate. They may be delayed. But sometimes they are eternal. Do you hear me? Sometimes they are eternal. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and you never ask Him to forgive you of your sins, you never ask Him to save you, you don't have a relationship with Him, that consequence, my friend, is eternal, and there is no remedy for that. Because entering into eternity without Christ means you will spend eternity in a place called hell of living eternal torment. People don't like to talk about hell. Or else they make fun. They make light of hell. Hell is not something to make fun of. It's not something to take lightly. It is a place of living torment. Scripture says where the worm does not die and the fire is never quenched. Anybody in here ever burned your hand on something? On a stove? I know I reached in the oven one time helping Mom when I was younger. I reached in the oven. She had a cast iron skillet with oil in it for something. I don't even remember what it was in there for now. And I was going to take it out for her. Well, guess what happened when I pulled it out? What does oil do? It sloshes. And boom, it sloshed on. Man, I have never been burned so bad on my hand. I remember that for a long time. I guarantee you I've never done that. I've never repeated that mistake. That hurt. But friends, that's nothing compared to eternity and the fires and flames of hell. So three things we want to look at today about the big reset. Because we want to avoid the big reset. You want to avoid the big reset in your own life, and we want to do everything we can to avoid a big reset in our nation's life. But we're headed there right now. Make no mistake about it. This nation is headed for a big reset. And when it happens, if it happens, if we don't turn around before then, when it happens, it's not going to be pretty. It's not going to be fun. It's going to be painful, and it's going to be long-lasting. God bless this nation. This nation was founded on godly principles, and we have stuck our nose in the face of God and turned our backs on Him. And there will be consequences for that. So the first thing we want to make sure we understand when we avoid trying to avoid this big reset is the warning. You see, God gives a warning. I had a friend of mine in younger days. He didn't pay attention, or else he didn't know what the red light meant. When a red engine light comes on your car, what are you supposed to do? Stop. Well, he kept going until the car stopped, and that wasn't good. He disregarded the warnings. God gives warnings. He gives warnings in His Word. He gives warnings from His Spirit to us. He gives warnings. Our parents, those that love us, will give us warnings. We need to heed those warnings. Because the warning, not or failing to heed the warning, is disobedience. It's disobedience. Now, if your child doesn't do what you tell them to do, what's the result? You know, it depends on what it is, right? Sometimes a little corporal punishment, maybe sometimes put in the corner, I don't know, whatever the case might be. But disobedience brings results. Disobedience to the law of the land will get you arrested. You know, there have been young people that I've had encounters with before that they were let just to raise themselves at home. And they took the way, their attitude about authority to the laws of the land, and they run afoul of law enforcement. So it winds up law enforcement being their mom and dad. They get their correction from the Department of Corrections, and that's too late. Doesn't work very well then. So the warning, we need to heed the warning, because not doing that is disobedience. Disobedience leads to consequences. We also have a warning about discounting God's Word. People will tell you, oh, do you believe all those old stories in there? Yes, you better believe I do every last one of them, because they are just as timely, just as applicable to me today as they were 5,000 years ago, 2,000 years ago, 10,000 years ago, however long it was. because the Word of God is living, it's alive, and sharper than a two-edged sword, and it is still applicable today. The truth of God found in Genesis all the way to Revelation apply to you and me in 2019 just like it did to Abraham, Lot, and whoever else you may read about. So discounting the Word of God leads to destruction. Scripture says the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. That leads to the third subpoint there, denying God's existence. It does not matter whether you say you believe in God or not. He's still God. Doesn't matter whether you believe it or not. You may not believe in gravity, but if you step off the steeple, you're going to be acquainted with it. Doesn't matter whether we believe it or not. Doesn't matter whether you believe God or deny God's existence. God exists. In Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, it says, in the beginning, God. He was already there. Before anything was, God existed. The same yesterday, today, and forever. The name of God, I Am, is the constant state of being. He has always been, He is today, and He will forever be. Doesn't matter if you believe it or not. Denying God's existence only gets us into the fool's camp. Doesn't do any good as far as I do whatever I want to do. You may do it, but the consequences are still going to be there. There are spiritual laws in place just like there are physical laws in place. And disregarding spiritual laws will bring the same calamity as disregarding physical laws. You go around a curve at too high a rate of speed, what's going to happen? You're going to straighten the curve out. You disobey the Word of God, you discount the existence of God, you're going to pay the consequences for that as well. The warning is depending on man. Oh, we got this figured out. We're smart. We're better. I mean, we've come a long way, baby, since 4,000, 5,000, 6,000 years ago. We may have come a long way, but we hadn't got anywhere. We hadn't got anywhere. We just mess up faster than they did. You realize that? It took a long time for Israel to get to this point. We got there in just a little over 200 years. This nation is a baby compared to some civilizations that have existed on the earth. We hadn't got it figured out, and we're on the fast track to destruction if we don't turn it around. Depending on man will get you. The whirlwind is what it will get you. You want to see something mess up? Let the government take control of it. Man will mess stuff up. Do you have any doubt about that? Man will mess stuff up. We've always done it. Depending on man to give you the answer to life's big questions is foolish. Because they don't know. Oh, they'll tell you they know. But they don't know. God has the answer. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except by me. That is exclusive. Yes, I know it is. That's not politically correct. Yes, I know that. It's the truth, nevertheless. How many answers are there to the equation 2 plus 2? There's one answer. 5 is close, but it's not right. 3 is close, but it's not right. Both of those answers will get you a red X. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. Getting close will not do you any good. Does it matter? Think about this. Does it matter how far away you are if the end result is hell in all cases? If you miss heaven by 1 foot, or miss heaven by a mile, does it matter? Because the end result is the same. What is the end result? Hell. Doesn't make much difference if you missed it by a mile or by a foot. Eternity is not about horseshoes and hand grenades. Don't matter getting close. You got to be right. This life is preparation for eternal life. And if you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, then heed the warning today. Heed it today, because you may not get it tomorrow. Departing from God's way to follow other gods. You might say, well, I don't worship an idol. Oh, yeah, we do. Yeah, we do. We don't worship a little golden calf, or maybe we don't worship a little fat Buddha, But we worship idols. Oh, yeah, we do. Power, prestige, personal pleasure, all those things. They're idols just like the little golden calf was. And following those leads to the same destruction. The warning is there over and over and over again. You know, I can remember reading Scripture and thinking, you know, okay, God, you know, I get it. But then I realized so many folks don't get it. They don't get it. They just read right over it. It doesn't seem to matter. You go down the interstate and you start seeing orange signs, construction 5 miles ahead, construction 3 miles ahead, 2 miles ahead. Then start saying, left lane closed, merge right. How many folks wait to try to get over when you're stopped in traffic? And you think, did you not see the signs? Everybody saw the signs. Get over. And be honest, you get mad, you don't want to let them in, do you? Because you got over and they didn't. But you think, didn't they see the sign? It was there, orange. But yet they're just flying along like they've got till next year to get over. Traffic accidents. A lot of times we'll have an accident on 65 northbound and we'll have to close the interstate. And we'll set barricades up. You've got fire trucks. You've got all these vehicles with flashing red and amber lights. And still folks try to drive around the fire truck. You can't do it. The road's blocked. Well, I got to get to Birmingham. Go another way. Listen to the warning. Heed the warning. Secondly, there's also the judgment. You see, the warning is there. God gives the warning to keep us from experiencing the judgment. God said when He gave the Ten Commandments, you follow these commandments and I will bless you. If you don't, I will judge you. But the day of the Lord will come as what? A thief in the night. In which the heavens will pass away with a great noise and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Both the earth and the works that are in it will be burned up. Judgment is coming. Is it tomorrow? Is it next year? I don't know, but it is foolish not to be ready today. Don't wait. Why are you waiting? Because it is coming. It's not a matter of, is it going to come? The only question is, when is it going to come? Would you dare build a new house on the Gulf beaches and not have hurricane insurance? No. As a matter of fact, the mortgage company is not going to let you. We wouldn't dare do that. Why? Because we know that it's only a matter of time till a hurricane comes and destroys that house. Why then would we put off that which is most important, our eternal life? Why did we put it off? Do we think we're going to live forever? No, you're not. Not here anyway. You see, Jesus Christ, Scripture says, He is the final judge. We will answer to Him, either at the great white throne, or at the throne of Jesus. We're going to answer in one of those places to Him. For every idle word spoken, when Jesus rode into Jerusalem on Palm Sunday, before Easter, before the crucifixion, He entered Jerusalem on the back of a donkey. That is the symbol of peace. The King of Kings and Lord of Lords entering Jerusalem on the back of a donkey. When He returns again, He will not be on the back of a donkey. He will be on the back of a white war horse. The difference is He will return as a conquering king, and we all, everyone, Scripture says every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that He is Lord. You, I, everybody who has ever lived, who will ever live, will all answer to Him. There is no ifs, ands, or maybe. You will stand before Him either clothed in the righteousness of Christ, or you will stand clothed in your own righteousness. Those are the only two options. And I'm going to tell you what's going to happen. If you're clothed in your own righteousness, there's only one verdict. It's going to come from the great white throne, and it's going to be eternity in hell, period. That's it. If you're clothed in the righteousness of Christ, then the verdict is going to be enter into the joys of your Lord. Not because I deserved it, not because I was so good, because I'm clothed in the righteousness of Christ. Are you? Because without it, judgment will come. And every time in here, it comes when they least expect it. You would think, hello, get a clue. God's told you it's coming. And yet every time it takes them by surprise. Moses built, Noah built an ark. An ark. A huge boat on the land. It took him a long time to build this boat. And they saw it, and they walked by it, and they heard him preach the word of God. And yet, Scripture says, when the rains fell and the streams and the springs opened up, they were shocked. I don't know why. They were banging on the ark, let us in. Well, God had closed the door, and Noah could not open it, even if he wanted to. The judgment of God comes when we least expect it. So be ready. Be ready. That's the motto of the Boy Scouts. Isn't it always be ready? Well, it's also, I'll be the Christian's motto, be ready. Because you never know when the Lord's going to come. You remember the parable of the wise virgins and the foolish ones. The wise ones carried oil. They trimmed their lamps and they went into the marriage feast. The foolish ones said, we ain't got any oil. And they come banging on the door. Let us in. He said, depart from me. I don't know you. Judgment will occur when you least expect it. So always be ready. Lastly, the blessing. Don't forget the blessing. God sends the warning, and He's going to send the judgment if we don't turn. But if we heed the warning, if we turn, then there is the blessing. Because God wants to bless us. God is not up there in heaven with a quiver full of lightning bolts just waiting for us to mess up so He can zap you. God loves you. He wants to bless you. And when we are disobedient, when we are walking away from Him, He cannot do that because we are in rebellion against Him. He says, come to me. Come now. God will bless us if we will only put ourselves in a position to be blessed by being obedient and following after Him. The blessing of God is also no fear. No fear. And what do I mean by saying no fear? Just that. If you are in the will of God, if you are walking in with Him through life, there is nothing that you should fear. Scripture says the gates of hell cannot prevail against His church. Paul said, it doesn't matter if you kill me or not. It's all going to be good. And what's that mean? How can Paul say that? Because Paul knew where he was going to be. He says, if you kill me, I'm going to be with Jesus. If you don't, I'm going to be here preaching. He said, it's going to be okay either way. You see, fear is cast out by perfect love. I don't know anybody that loves more perfectly than Jesus Christ. If you know Him, fear is cast out. There's no reason to fear. The blessing of God. Jesus said in John 10:10, I've come that you may have life and have it more abundantly. Real and abundant life. Fruitful life. That your life will bear fruit. Galatians chapter 5, the fruit of the Spirit, because the Spirit of God living in us bears fruit through us. Somebody asked, you know, what's it look like? What's the fruit of the Spirit look like? Well, it says in there what it looks like. That's what we do because God's Spirit is doing it in us as we are walking in His way. And then it says, not anxious. Now, there's a lot of anxiety in our world. Oh, my goodness. There's a lot of anxiety. there's a multi-billion dollar drug industry just because of anxiety. Jesus is the cure for anxiety. You hear me? Jesus is the cure for what ails mankind. Here's your compass point. God is watching. The only question is, will we turn around and turn to Him, or will we continue ahead to a massive wreck? A major reset's coming for this culture, for this nation, if we do not heed His warning. It may not be tomorrow. It may not be next year. But I can just about promise you before, in the lifetime of the people in this room, it's going to occur if we don't turn around. It's going to occur. Understand, God is not mocked. Whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. Father, we hear your words, and we pray that they do not fall on barren soil, but that they fall on rich soil, and they take root and they grow up into us, your will and your way. Father, we are your people, and this is your time, and we need to turn to you. We need to heed your warnings. Lord, you tell us, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, that I will forgive their sins and heal their land. Father, our land needs healing more than we can possibly say. We need healing. Lord, we need you. Whatever you desire to do in our hearts and our lives, Lord, help us to allow you to do it, to respond to your calling, even right now. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.